You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
That nailed into that shameful tree. between. His bloodshed on the mercy seat. The power of sin and shame erased. And crowned the name above all names. The most beautiful name I know. The most beautiful name I know. It is by the name of Jesus I am saved. The most beautiful name I know. When in the heavens we will meet, I'll cast my crown there at His feet. His praises evermore proclaim. All glory to that matchless name. The most beautiful name I know. The most beautiful name I know. It is by the name of Jesus I am saved. The most beautiful name I know. The most beautiful name I know. The most beautiful name I know. It is by the name of Jesus I am saved.
Dad up, fathers. You may not be currently living in the home with the mother of your child for whatever reason. What you say to and about your current or former significant other in the presence of your child says more about you, Dad, than it says about the mother of your child. Remember, they may no longer be your significant other, but they will always be your child's mother. One of the most important life lessons you can teach your son or daughter as a dad is showing respect for their mother, regardless of your feelings towards her. For your son, this clearly sends the message, this is how I treat my future wife. For your daughter, this is how I expect to be treated by my future husband. Dad, you are by far one of the most powerful teachers and influences in your child's life. This is Seamus Gordon with the Father-Child Connection, empowering fathers to establish, re-establish, or strengthen the connection between themselves and their children. For further information, contact us at 561-229-2379 or email us at admin@thefatherchildconnection.org. Dad up!
Everybody here looking for revival in our own hearts and across the land. Anybody looking for a revival, lift up your voice and say amen. Lift up your voice and say amen. Anybody here looking for
Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.
Thank you. it's changing me. It's hard to see who I am. I'm touched by many things, so many things I don't understand. But seasons pass and I discover above all this, there's another helping me to hold on to what is timeless. So the autumn can color me gold, the winter can dress me in snow, but it's you I see, the timeless part of me. In the springtime, I'm young once again. The summer, I dance on the wind. But it's you I see, the timeless part of me. Oh. Change, whether it's good. The time is part of me. So the autumn can color me gold, the winter can dress me in snow, but you I see, the time is part of me.
To come and find Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. It says, one day Jesus called together his 12 apostles and gave them power and authority to do what? Cast out demons, right? And to heal all diseases. Now, this is in the really birthing days of ministry with these men. They had just been with Jesus a short time, had seen him do some miracles, obviously. But now the Lord's going to speak to that group of 12 that he's called, and he's going to send them out. It says he sent them out, verse 2, to tell everyone about the coming of the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he gave them some instructions. Don't even take along a walking stick, he instructed them, nor a traveler's bag, nor food, nor money. In the early days, they were simply to go by faith totally. If you want to know what faith ministry is, take off on a trip and don't have any money in your pocket to fill up the next gas station. That's kind of what these apostles were being sent out to do. They weren't allowed to pack their lunch, you know. They were not given direction to carry their luggage along and be prepared to be away. They were going to be trusting God really for everything. And they needed to learn that. They needed to learn that God is a provider, that God knows how to take care of our needs. I believe we need to know that too. We need to experience that. And a lot of times we learn that when we have needs. That's often how we learn. When you enter each village, be a guest in only one home. If the people of the village won't receive your message when you enter it, shake the dust off your feet as you leave. It is a sign that you have abandoned that village to its fate. So, just for a moment, let's back up to verse 1. He called his apostles. He gave them power. He did not send them out like ordinary religious people. The synagogue had religious leaders that had no power. They didn't really know God. They knew about God, but they didn't really know God. And so as Jesus sends his followers out, he sends them out. What did they have? They had his name, right? And they were able to speak in the name of the Lord, but he gave them power and authority. That's both of the Greek words, exousia and dunamis, so that they were able to have authority over the powers of the devil. And we see that first place is to cast out demons. And we in our nation do not have a lot of reference to casting out of demons. I've never been to a doctor's office where the doctor said, "Now, Jonathan, the problem you have is actually demonic." The doctors normally will say, you know, you have this, you have that. They want to know about your ancestry. They want to know if this runs in your family. They want to know about your diet. They want to check your weight. They want to do a lot of things. But I've never been to a medical doctor that said, I believe what we're dealing with here is a demonic situation. And yet, when we look at the ministry of Jesus, we see that the casting out of demons and healing went hand in hand, because sickness and disease is the work of the devil. And so we see that. And the church, many churches do not exercise any operative deliverance or faith in God to deliver people of demons. And the church is basically on as many medications for psych issues and emotional problems and medical problems as the world is. And so as we are looking at the season of Pentecost and we're thinking about what God has given us, I believe we need to return to the foundation of our faith. We need to revisit what God's plan is for us as the church and also for us as individual believers. And so in order for the apostles to have power and authority to cast out demons, in order for them to have power and authority to do that, you recognize that they were not personally possessed or under the oppression of the devil themselves. So we have a group of apostles that are free. We looked at this last week, that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so do not give your freedom away to the enemy. And so they were free. In order to minister freedom to others, we have to be free ourselves. And so God wants his apostles and his disciples, his followers, his church, to be free from the power and authority an operation of Satan against our families and in our lives. How many of you see that in the Word of God? God does not want us to be enslaved by demonic strongholds in our families. And so this is in the Word of God. It started this way. And so some would say, well, God doesn't still work in that kind of a manner. Well, as long as there's a devil, God is going to work in this kind of a manner. Because as long as there is a devil, there's going to be strongholds and demonic oppression and possession. Now, I want to tell you this morning that I believe in Christ, that Christ sets us free. He is the deliverer. It's not in finding some person that can cast the devil out. If you're in Christ, you have the authority to cast the devil out. You have authority in Christ, in the name of Jesus, as a child of God, to walk in victorious authority over the enemy. And we need to get a new grip on this, that this is who we are in Jesus' name, that we do not give into a spirit of fear or a spirit of bondage or a spirit of sickness or a spirit of disease, but that we are to be free. We pray that, we believe that for our families, and we stand in that kind of victory. Now, that was the 12. Now, there are churches today that teach that the miracles stopped with the death of the apostles. That as long as the apostles were living, that they had that direct commission. So those 12, they were ordained by Jesus to go out and to do what Jesus did. But when that group of 12, when they all died off, all of that died off, and maybe once in a while, God will show up in a miraculous way, and they'll say, He still can do that. But don't you expect that God's going to do something like that through you, where you lay hands on. What a lie of the devil. What a lie of the devil. And so when you go to chapter 10, we see the 12 are sent out in chapter 9. Then when we get to chapter 10, we see that there are 70. I'm reading from Luke chapter 10, verse 1. But now the Lord chose 72 other disciples, and he sent them on ahead in pairs to all the towns and villages he planned to visit. So we have the 12, they're sent out, and they're like they're the close apostles, disciples that are going to oversee the work of the Lord, and they're with Jesus. But then he also commissions this additional group of 70. And this is still early in the ministry. They don't have a lot of years of training. They haven't been to Bible college. They don't have a degree in seminary. They're not licensed and ordained by the local synagogue. These are people that Jesus said, I want you to go out and go to village to village to village and tell them that the kingdom of God is near. Now, how many of you know the kingdom of God is here now? Because we are a part of the kingdom. So these were his instructions to them. And he said to them in verse 2, the harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers into his field. So who are we talking about here? Workers, servants, who are going to be working in reaching people with the love of God. So what is he going to tell this group to do? Maybe, you know, some might say, well, maybe he has a different plan for me because, you know, that's not who I am. But look at this. Pray that the Lord will send out laborers, more workers, more workers. Go now and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. So, you know, we know the world's pretty, can be pretty vicious. Don't take along any money or a traveler's bag or even an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. There's an urgency in his commission where whenever you enter a home, give it your blessing. And so it's appropriate when we go into each other's homes that we declare a blessing of the Lord over the house. If those who live there are worthy, if in other words, if they're receptive, then the blessing will stand. If they're not worthy, then the blessing will return to you as you go. And so if someone's able to receive the word of the Lord, they're able to receive the ministry of the Lord, then they're going to receive the blessing of the Lord. And so you speak that, you minister that as we go into each other's homes. That's the way we're to enter, the way we're to leave. And if someone does not receive the blessing, then the blessing simply goes with you. There's not a problem with that. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide you, sort of like the same direction that was given to the 12. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. Now, if a town welcomes you eat whatever is set before you, and heal the sick. As you heal them, say, the kingdom of God is near you. All right, so we see that they're sent out. So we have the 12, we have the 72, and then when we get down to verse 17, we get a ministry report. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. What are they saying? You gave us authority to go out, and that authority works. It works over the enemy. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan falling from heaven as a flash of lightning, and I have given who? Yeah, you can say he's given me. Given you, given us authority. I have given you authority over what? All the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. And nothing will injure you. When you're on assignment, you're doing the Lord's work, and you're accomplishing what he's called you to do, you're at a place where the protection of God is upon your life, and you have that power and authority. But then Jesus said, don't rejoice just because evil spirits obey you, but how are you to rejoice? Rejoice because your names are registered as citizens of heaven. How many this morning can say, hallelujah, my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and I am a child of God. And so as a child of God, I want you to understand who you are this morning. And many of you are going to say, well, I already knew that. Well, praise God. We're going to have more and more opportunity to live and practice what we're looking at here this morning. I wonder if anyone in the room this morning would be able to say with me, Lord, I want to see more people delivered from demons. Lord, I want to see more people healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to see more sons and daughters delivered from addiction. I want to see more young ladies salvaged and saved before they're addicted, before they've been trafficked, before that. Father, I want to see my neighbors. I want to see their homes. I want to see them cleansed. I want to see them free. I want to see them set free in Jesus' name. And so this is our mission. This is what God has called us to do. And so we see this in the Word of God. And there are many that would like to take Mark chapter 16 out of the Word of God. But how many of you know that Mark is in there? Let's go to Mark 16, and I want to go there so you can tie it to Luke's gospel, so you can see that there is a parallel scripture that ties into Mark chapter 16. In Mark 16, we look at the commission, go into all the world, it's verse 15, Mark 16, 15, and he told them, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. Now, we already know how he said to go and preach. You have to go and preach with power. You have to go and preach with anointing. You have to go and preach casting out demons and releasing the healing power of God. This is a part of the ministry. We know that already from the beginning. And anyone, verse 16, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Today is still a day of salvation. I have some family members that need to be saved. Many of them, they were in church when they were young. They were in Sunday school when they were young. However, they're not serving God today. They need to be saved. They're serving the devil. If someone's serving the devil, they need to be saved. They need to come to Jesus. You may say, well, I thought if someone said the prayer that they're in the kingdom. Well, a lot of people said the prayer, but that it was just from their head. It wasn't from their heart. So if you know of someone whose life is controlled by the power of Satan and death and hell, then they need to be saved. Pray for them that the Lord will set them free, that the strong man, the demonic strongholds over their life will be bound, and that they will be brought into the kingdom of God. So anyone who believes, takes personal belief, can't baptize a baby and figure that baptism is going to work in 40 years. 40 years, they're old enough to make their own decision too, right? We want them to make both in agreement with the Word of God. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. And then we have some churches that say, well, you're not saved until you're baptized. And they'll teach all of that about water baptism. We know that water baptism does not save us. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ alone, grace through faith, right through Jesus Christ. What does water baptism do? It testifies publicly that we have surrendered our life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and that we are Christ followers. It was a big deal in the early days of the church for the church to have a baptism because people would say, oh, you're one of them. You're one of those who follow the way. You're one of those who have left the temple. Well, actually, a lot of them didn't leave the temple. They got thrown out of the temple. They still went to the temple for prayer and for worship as long as they could, and many of them got thrown out of the temple. So when they got thrown out of the temple, then I guess they, yeah, I'm one of those. But when they were baptized in water, that was a sign that they had surrendered their life fully unto death, unto life, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And these signs, verse 17, you have a verse 17, hopefully in your Bible. Some Bibles now take this out because they don't like what's in here, but these signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. Who will do that? Who will do that? Those who believe. Those who believe. The disciples, the followers of Christ. Those who believe. They will do this. So you go into all the world, you minister the word of God. These signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. So we still use the name of Jesus, right? Just like the early church did. And they will speak in new languages or a new tongue. And that also is the power of God. We see that at Pentecost. We're going to go there in just a moment. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. This does not mean you play with snakes. I'm not a snake handler. I've handled a few. I've killed a few. But this is not saying we should have rattlesnakes in church. And somehow, some people read that kind of literally. I mean, I've read of some people that had rattlesnakes in church, and you know they handled them and thought that was being something really special. But you can find the passage that tells us what to do with snakes. The Apostle Paul, he was on shipwreck, and he's on an island. He's gathering firewood to put on the fire, and a viper that all the islanders knew, if you got bit by that viper, you were going to die. And that viper came out of those sticks as Paul is carrying them. It struck him, and all of the islanders are what? They're waiting for him to die. But what did he do with the serpent? He did what I'll do with it. He shook it off in the fire, and the serpent didn't make it out of the fire alive, I'm sure. So that's what he did. So when we read this, it's actually talking about the power and anointing of God that is in our life. And so we see that it addresses poison, addresses snakes. It won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and heal them. Now, what did we read in Luke's gospel? We just looked at that a couple minutes ago, where Jesus said to them, and I've given you authority over, this is back in chapter 10, we're looking at verse 18. Verse 18, I saw Satan falling from heaven like a flash of lightning, and I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. That's the way we handle them. We crush them. Where is the enemy to be? Under our feet, under our feet. Crush them, nothing will injure you. When the Lord Jesus had finished, back to Mark chapter 16, after he says, they will be able, we are the they, we are the they. We are able to place our hands on the sick and to see them healed in Jesus' name. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and set down at the place of honor at God's right hand. Now, as we look at these passages and think about the ministry that the apostles would be involved in. Last week, we were talking about witchcraft and defined witchcraft by being any manipulation or control of the devil that sought to distract you or hinder you in your walk with God. And this can come in many different ways, witchcraft. There's many people that are involved in witchcraft. They're involved in various satanic aspects of operation. In fact, I know there's been seasons, Palm City, this was actually a stronghold for witchcraft for many years. I haven't heard a lot about it in many years, but years ago there were a lot of things that were happening here. And we know we have the Wiccans. We have a lot of different levels of demonic activity. We've had some outreaches over the years wherein we had a whole group of Satanists come and showed up and endeavored to hinder and stop the ministry that we were doing. And I know my wife remembers those times. They came, they were spitting blood. It was a real mess in those days. And they were trying to discourage us. And so we know that that's kind of a more visible form of witchcraft. But behind the scenes, there's many different levels of operation of witchcraft that seeks to hinder us in our walk with God. And I'm not going to go to the passage this morning. I was thinking and praying about it, actually thought quite a bit about it. And that had to do with Ahab and Jezebel. And there's been many, many, many sermons and series on the Jezebel spirit and the operation of Jezebel and how that happened. But if you look at the scriptures and you see what was taking place, Jezebel not only stepped in to manipulate and control the ownership of property of those who were righteous, but she brought deceit to that entire community and brought judgment upon all of them by commissioning liars to lie against the man who owned the property. And so she was a manipulator that manipulated to fight against the established law and righteous order that was in the land. And the man ends up being put to death who is under the operation of Jezebel. And so we see that where Ahab, he actually was pouting and carrying on and enabled his wife to operate in the realm of demonic activity. We also know that with Saul, after God left Saul, because Saul rebelled against God, last week we looked at this scripture wherein Saul said he was obedient to God, but he was not obedient to God. And as a result of that, the Spirit of God left him and God would not speak to him anymore. And the scripture says that rebellion directly applied in that passage to the king, King Saul, that rebellion is as witchcraft, the sin of witchcraft. And so rebellion against God is establishing your will, your rights, or your plans against the plans of God. And so you may not think about it this way, but it's possible to have a spouse that's doing witchcraft against you. That's possible. We've had families where one spouse was a Christian, one was not a Christian. The one who was not righteous was, in some cases, was not directly opposing, but was not necessarily interested at that time. But we've seen the spouses, many of them come to the Lord over a period of time. But we have seen spouses that were extremely manipulative, controlling, and destructive in their behavior. And constantly, the enemy was taking things from their behavior, their verbiage, and their lifestyle to fight, to hinder their personal walk with God. Now, maybe no one in the room this morning has experienced that. Some of you may have. Some of you have struggled in your families, and you've come under that attack of the enemy because the enemy had set up addiction, set up other relationships, maybe immoral situations. There have been all kinds of strongholds. A lot of times we call them strongholds that are established by the enemy to distract and hinder you in your walk with God. And so last week we were looking at this. As children of God, we have authority over the enemy, and we saw that in Luke chapter 10. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power to tread on the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." And so we need to recognize that that is the authority and power that God has given to us. Last week we looked at some prayers and we were thinking about some of those prayers in reference to being free. And I don't know if any of you went online, any of you pulled any prayers down, but I'm just going to touch on a couple of these areas again this morning. Protection. The enemy would love to kill every Christian because we're the voice of God on the earth. That's God's plan. So Satan would love to take your life. If you don't know it, you're on Satan's hit list. And Satan is actively desiring to destroy your life. Satan desires to destroy your wealth. Satan desires to destroy your health. Satan desires to destroy your marriage. This is demonic. The battles we are facing are demonic in our lives and in our families. The victories that we are able to secure in our families is because of the power of God that breaks the plans and cancels the assignments of the enemy. And so when we say prayer for protection, it's appropriate for us to quote scriptures like Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light, he's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Our trust is to be in the Lord. Or perhaps recognizing from Zechariah, the Lord said to Israel, I'll be a wall of fire around about you. What was that wall of fire? It was to protect you from the fiery darts of the enemy that were being thrown. And another one that I just mentioned last week, I'm going to mention it again. Father, in Jesus' name, may every assignment of every witch or wizard or demonic activity, may they all be destroyed in Jesus' name. And you say, well, why would you pray that way? Well, let me just back up for a moment and ask you to think about this. Some of you in your backgrounds played with things like Ouija boards. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Some of you played with things like that. And there are many young people today that still are tampering with demonic activity on a regular basis and still are involved in casting spells and demonic activity. And so we have many times in many families, there may have been maybe you, maybe someone else in your family, maybe when you were a teenager, maybe when you were young, or you may have people in your family that go to have their palm read, go to have cards read. You go to astrology. I'll hear people say, well, I'm a Gemini, or I'm this, or I'm that. All of that is demonic in its search to find the hidden through unknown sources other than God.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, a fresh manna. Thy word is a lamp, the fresh word of God, children of God.
Thy word is a lamp, yeah.
praise.